Hey, this is Cam. Thanks for listening to Awakening Church's message of the week.
How's everybody doing tonight? Good? Well, I'm glad you're here. I wanted to give a really, really deep testimony about what intercession does, and so that's why I brought this down here. This is what intercession and answers to prayer look like. There's a Dutch Bros in Louisville now. And we first experienced this on the West Coast, and we prayed, and there was an imposter that came, a couple, actually, Scooters and Seven Brew, they were imposters that came, but Dutch Bros is here, and so this is what intercession looks like. And if you're wondering, this is a blended lemonade. It's called Aftershock with a sour shot in it. Oh, it's fire. And so, but they have all kinds of cool coffees, and honestly, the best chocolate milk you'll ever have. The best chocolate milk you'll ever have. So if you're wondering, I just wanted to show you what answers to prayer look like. So that's there. You know, we were in deep intercession as a team, and we were like, what can we do? And we started just interceding into Philadelphia. And so that's where the cheesesteak thing came from. So it's a joke, guys. It's a joke. It's not, we weren't really interceding about cheesesteak. Not that it would be bad to intercede about cheesesteak. So anyway, men, if you chose Psalms over Proverbs, that's cool. I did too. However, this is men only. I'm serious. Women, you better not get your phone out and you better not go to the Bible right now. I'm telling you, don't do it. But men, one of your favorite verses should be Proverbs 5:19. Yeah. Learn it, memorize it, and it's scripture. Just use it. 5:19. I know you girls are going to go check it later, but I'm just telling you, this is for the men. This is for the men. And so I'm just throwing that out there. Is everybody good? I feel like we all might want to go to sleep tonight because it's raining outside. Are we good? Do we need to stand the whole night? I feel like, no? Okay. It's interesting when you look out here. It's like most of the time what I like to do when it's raining is go sit on my back patio. And so some of you men that are going to your Bible right now, you're getting ready to have revelation. I know you because I know what you're doing. And I bless you with that. Proverbs 5:19. Yes, Jesus. Yes. No, you're good. We can edit that out of the podcast. It's okay. No, it's a joke. It's a total joke. I'm really glad that you're here. Just continuing to ask the Lord, you know, what are you doing and what are you saying and how is it that you want us to navigate these moments? And so I want to share a few thoughts tonight. If you do have your Bible, now everybody can get your Bible out. You can go to 1 Chronicles chapter 13. I ended here last week, and so I want to start here. I'm so glad that you're here on a Wednesday. This is so cool. I kind of ended last week reading 1 Chronicles chapter 13, the first three verses, and so I'm going to read that again in just a moment, but we were coming off the tail end of the first three verses in Acts 13, where the people in Antioch, that's where we've been going, Antioch, Awakening, A New Paradigm, and the Lord gave me some language around revival ecosystems and revival ecosystem architects, and I feel like that's kind of what we're doing right now. I feel like we're almost in a training phase for becoming revival ecosystem architects, and so I just was asking, you know, the Lord, what are you saying? Literally, up until the moment that I walked down here, what is it that you are saying to us in this moment? And so I think I'll be brief tonight, and then I just want to go after him, because the phrase that jumps out to me in Acts chapter 13, the first three verses, is this right here. As they ministered to the Lord, the Holy Spirit said. As they ministered to the Lord, the Holy Spirit spoke. And that's my heart for tonight. I want us to spend some time just ministering to his heart. And I know that he's going to speak to us, and I think we'll probably do something practical here in just a moment, just to hear the voice of the Lord. But I want to read this, and then I want to just jump into something that, honestly, the phrase that I'm going to use tonight, I got from a spiritual father of mine, and it just hadn't even thought about this phrase for years, and it came to me today. And so, anyway, 1 Chronicles 13, the first three verses. Then David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said to all the assembly of Israel, "If it seems good to you and if it's the Lord our God, let us send out to our brethren everywhere who are left in the land of Israel and with them to the priests and the Levites who are in their cities and their common lands, that they may gather together to us and let us bring the ark of our God back to us. For we have not inquired at it since the days of Saul." And that is a powerful verse. It's an initiation point for David's leadership. And I'll talk about that in just a little bit. But this is the phrase that I was just meditating on today. There is a difference between a head strike and a heart strike. There is a difference between something that comes to our head that feels like it's a good idea, that feels like it's something that's noble, and then something that actually moves us at the heart level to actually make an adjustment. Okay? So there is a huge difference in a head strike and a heart strike. And there are so many times that we will ask the Lord for something, and we'll feel, and let me say, I have done this, maybe you haven't, but I'll ask for something, and there will be a gentle leading or an initiation or something like that. And then all of a sudden, Ryan kicks in and is like, "That's a good idea, Lord. Let me help you." And it just kind of stays up here. And what happens, what I have found, is whenever it's just a head strike, it normally tends to fade away. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about how many things that you have been involved in, how many great ideas, how many not just good ideas, but God ideas have been something, but it really didn't move you to a place of passion. And so it was really good in the moment. It was a really good thought process, but it didn't move to your heart, and it kind of faded away. And that's why I believe that the Lord has us on this journey of creating new neural pathways, new thought processes, new thought patterns. Because there comes a place where the encounters that we have in the tangible presence of the Lord, at some point it has to produce a change. At some point it has to produce a transformation. Would you all agree with that? It's so easy in an environment like this. Like, you know, we're not doing anything right now, and I already feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in this room. I feel Him tangibly in my body. You know, I can feel Him here. And you know, it's an atmosphere that we hope to steward in this home. However, there comes a point where I have to move from just feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit and actually move into action that causes me to look like someone that can bring transformation to a culture. Does that make sense? And so I feel like that's what he wants to do. And so I was thinking about this, and at some point the idea has to move from seed form into actually executing the idea, okay? Now, in 1 Chronicles 13, this is a prime example of why we need adjustments in mindsets that move us beyond noble motives, okay? And that's why I want to talk about it becoming a heart strike. That is a beautiful passage that I just read to you, okay? Those three verses are beautiful. And David is calling the nation back to worship. He's calling the nation back to the presence of God. He actually is saying, listen, we are the children of God, right? We're the children of Israel. We're the children of God. And we have not inquired of the presence of the Lord since Saul was king. And there's a lot that we could talk about in that, okay? So it is super noble and it's super amazing. However, if you read down just a few verses, the execution of attempting to bring the ark back was so off that a young man lost his life. It was beautiful to start. It was a beautiful idea. It was a beautiful thought process. But the seed form, the head strike, did not move to the place of adjustment. And why? Ultimately, it was out of convenience. Ultimately, it was out of convenience, right? They were bringing the ark back from Kiriath-Jearim. It had been in Abinadab's house. Watch this. Most scholars believe that it had been in Abinadab's house for almost 40 years. Now, I want you to, that means something, okay? That's not just Bible nerd stuff. That means something. I want you to listen to this. The people that were accompanying the ark were Abinadab's sons, Uzzah and Ahio. They had spent their whole life around the presence of God. They had spent their whole life seeing the ark in their father's house. There's no chance that the little kids were not playing around the ark and at some point bumped into it or touched it. Or in some form or fashion, they were so comfortable with the Ark of the Covenant because it had been in their house the whole time. And it was an amazing idea for David to say, let's go get the Ark. Let's bring it back. We have not inquired at the presence of God since Saul was king. It was a political reign. It was a religious by appearance reign from Saul. Remember, he told Samuel after he had totally disobeyed the Lord, he said, listen, at least go out with me so the people think that I did the right thing. I want them to at least think that I got it right. That was the kind of reign that they were under with Saul. That was the kind of political environment that they were in with Saul, okay? David comes, and we know that David, Psalm 51, is a beautiful depiction of when David falls with Bathsheba. He has a completely different response. He doesn't ask the prophet Nathan to go out with me so that the people will think that I did right. He said, no. He said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. So David got it moving forward. But David has this beautiful, noble idea, and he says, let's go get the Ark of God back because we've gone through this political and this religious reign, and we've not been asking the presence of God on how we should move and what we should do. But this is what they did. They got a new cart and put the Ark of the Covenant on the cart to carry it back to Jerusalem. Where did they get that idea? The Philistines. The enemy, who didn't have the same truth, who didn't have the same instructions. And so they carried the ark on a new cart, touched it, and nothing happened. But the children of Israel had a specific set of instructions that said, you carry the ark this way. You put it on your shoulder. You put poles through the rings on either end of the ark. And this is how you carry it. The presence of God should be carried on our shoulders, not on the new cart of convenience. Okay? And so what happens is this noble idea causes a young man who spent his whole life around the presence of God, when it hits a rock, it stumbles, and he goes to grab it, and immediately he is killed. And David goes back, and David gets mad at the Lord. And David says, why would you do this? You told us to go get the ark. Why would you do this? But David did not consult the word of the Lord. He had a head strike. This is a great idea. This will make my kingdom look good. This will make everyone think that I'm doing the right thing. And we're even going to pull on the old regime. And we're going to say, we haven't inquired at the presence of God since the old regime. And what I'm trying to get at is this, that at some point, the ideas and the head strikes that we have to move to heart strikes where we're actually consulting the presence of God on how we should move forward with what it is that he's asking us to do. Is that okay? Yeah. And so he says this. He says, I want us to go get the Ark of the Covenant. And it's been in Abinadab's house for 40 years. You can go study. The Bible will tell you 20 years. But if you actually study it out, you'll find it was actually in his house for 40 years. The whole time that Saul was reigning, the presence of God was void from his rulership. It's a big deal. But there came a point where the idea that was in David's head had to move to actual execution. Here's what I'm getting at. This is the practical approach. How many times have we heard the Lord say something to us and it gets to our head and it feels noble and it feels like we need to make an adjustment, but we don't actually move to the adjustment. This is where I believe we are prophetically in the body of Christ. I believe that he's giving us these ideas, these head strikes. There's something coming. There's transition coming. I mean, I've told you over and over again, it's to the point that I actually hate using the word any longer, that there's transition coming. But there is. There's something that is coming, and we can't fully put our finger on it. But what I know is that we're not going to allow it to just be a head strike and a noble idea. At some point, he's actually calling a body of people to move into real radical reformation that looks like the culture transforming from what it has been. And I want to say this, and our team has talked about this over and over again. You've heard us say this. It's not going to be adding another service. If adding another service was going to change the culture, it would have already been done, because there are people doing it at a much higher level with a much higher budget and much more resources than we have ever had. It's not that. It's actually a people saying, you know what? I'm going to adjust the way that I think. I'm actually going to move away from just letting it get into my head. I'm going to let it move into my heart. And whatever it looks like, I'm going to go get the presence of God. And that's where I'm going to spend my time, is ministering before the Lord. There's a reason why James in Acts 15 says that the Gentile revival that was happening, the Gentile being saved, is the restoration of the tabernacle of David. Why? Because David did make the adjustment. If you read the rest of David's life, he makes the adjustment and he establishes worship 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 33 and a half years. And that's why it's important that we minister to the Lord. As they ministered to the Lord, the Holy Spirit spoke. We do not minister to the Lord out of a void or a need that he has to stroke his ego. We minister to him because it is the place of face-to-face meeting, his presence. It's the place where common union or communion takes place. Watch this. And from this place of face-to-face, we see the plans and thoughts that are evident in his fiery eyes of affection. I want you to think about this, and I'm going to wind this down. We're going to jump into worship here in just a moment. In the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, the children of Israel, after they left Egypt, they were led by what? A cloud by day and a fire by night. Every day, the kids would wake up, get out of their tent, and they would see that Yahweh was leading them by a pillar of cloud that was visible to them. This cloud brought shade, this cloud brought protection, this cloud brought strategy, this cloud pointed the way. At night, when they couldn't see the sky anymore, it was a pillar of fire that led them. It provided warmth, it provided light, it provided strategy, and every single day they could get up, walk out, collect manna, put their shoes on that never wore out, put their clothes on that never wore out, and they would see the cloud and the fire. And one of the things that I believe the Lord wants us to understand is that just because there was a new covenant didn't mean that he stopped leading us by fire. The writer in Hebrews actually says that our God is a consuming fire. But what I want to tell you is that there is a place of positional proximity that puts us face to face when we minister to the Lord and we see the man Jesus, not as Sunday school Jesus in a framed picture with a thorn, a crown of thorns on his head, not the weird Sunday school Jesus that's looking off in the distance with a little silhouette around his face. But what John saw, one whose hair was like wool, whose feet were like polished brass, and watch this, whose eyes were like flaming fire. This is what I would submit to you. The new covenant did not change us being led by fire. The new covenant actually gave us access to a proximity to be in his face and to see those fiery eyes of affection. And when they look this way, we move this way. And when they look that way, we move that way. And we minister to the Lord
And it brings us face to face with Him. And the Holy Spirit begins to interpret when we don't know what way He's wanting us to go. The Holy Spirit says, I've seen that look in His eyes before. He's saying to go do this. I've seen that look in His eyes. He's saying, go do this and transform culture to mirror the kingdom. Can you feel that tonight? There's still a fire that's leading us. But it's not a temporary thing that only shows up in the dark. I want you to listen to that. There is a fire that is leading us, and it is not a temporary thing that only shows up when it feels like it's dark. I just felt that in my spirit. Why don't just close your eyes right there. Father, we thank You. We thank You that You are opening our hearts to hear and see and to know You. And God, You're trying to get a message across to us that You are not just with us when it seems dark. You're not just with us when it seems like we're in trauma. But Your fiery eyes of affection are leading us completely.
Thank you for listening to Awakening Church's Message of the Week. If you would like to partner and connect with us in transforming culture to mirror the kingdom through prayer, presence, and family, you have the opportunity to give. You can go to give@awakeningky.com. Like and subscribe, and let's transform culture to mirror the kingdom together. Have a blessed day.